Yeah, there we go. I can hear myself now. Thank you. So item number four was the minutes of June 19, 2018, and it looked like we had no comments, so we will move to approve those. Moving on to item number five is the seating of new planning commissioners. Who's going to lead us in that?
Just wanted to welcome our new commissioners and our reappointed commissioner and let you know that we'll be getting you an information packet with an overwhelming amount of information to help you come up to speed with how things work and how they're done. Please feel free to contact staff if you ever have any questions or concerns. And we'll do our best to respond to those. And we'll be reaching out to you to see if you'd like to schedule a meeting to come in and kind of meet staff and ask any questions and maybe be able to provide you with kind of a high-level overview of what's going on and how things work. We just threw Michelle to the wolves when she came on, but we're trying to do better as we move along. So.
Well, thank you, staff, and welcome.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you serve, and look forward to hopefully some many exciting projects to come. Mm-hmm. Hopefully your presence here doesn't change the dynamic, you know, too greatly in terms of the kinds of projects that we're seeing, because it's been pretty quiet lately and rather nice, but you never know. So, okay, item number six is the election of officers. So every year we go through electing new positions, including the chair and the vice chair. So at this point, welcome recommendations for officers from our commission.
I would like to nominate for chair, Mr. Commissioner Whitmore.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. Unless there's anybody who would like to say otherwise, and I'm not going to challenge you, I will say, you know, my role in particular, my professional role has become very busy lately, but I will make a point to make sure that at least I communicate when I can't be here. So it's probably more important that we identify who the vice chair would be, but maybe we'll
we
vote on that
first. We should probably finish that. Oh, we do the vice chair first?
Well, I
should
was
we vote
say,
on the together. Motion?
We
on
should
the
vote
floor.
On the motion okay. first, but then let's yeah. talk about and discuss the vice chair position. So okay. we have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approved.
Okay. So I would like to nominate Commissioner Voss as vice chair. We need a good, strong vice chair. And so that's my motion.
Okay. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to serving as chair and vice chair. Okay, moving on. Item number seven. We have our city manager, Mr. Rudolph, here tonight. Steve.
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to be here tonight to formally welcome our new commissioner and welcome back our returning commissioners. My first job in municipal government about just a short 28 years ago was as counsel to a planning commission. So I have a fondness in my heart for planning commissions. So it's always good to spend a few minutes with you. Commissions, in particular the Planning Commission and the Parks Commission, are just critical parts of our local government structure. If you think about the different services we provide, very few of our residents will interact with our police department in the time that they live in the city of Rockland. Maybe with our traffic officers, they've been pretty active lately, but probably not too much with police. The same with fire. They won't interact too much with our fire department. Probably also not too much with public services. But most of our residents do, in fact, use our parks. And most of our residents are impacted by development that goes on in the community, sometimes in their neighborhoods. So having this type of a forum where the people that live here can reach out and be involved in the local government process, where we have designated people to hear their comments, weigh the interest of the development community, the people that live in the community, and make decisions or provide recommendations to our council is really critical. So thank you very much for the service that you have provided in the past and you're going to provide in the future. It is It is an important part of what makes local government work. I do promise that there will be some exciting things coming ahead in the next year. I can't disclose some of them yet, but you know, we're going to make sure that you earn your, was it $25 a meeting or 100? I don't know what it is. You know, we're going to get every penny of it. Lastly, I've got the highest confidence in the group of people that are here to provide service to this commission at every meeting. I think they do an amazing job. But as we move forward, if there's ever any way that you think we can do better for this commission, or if you think that as a city staff you think we can do better for the community, I want to encourage you to contact me. My office is like right below, and I would welcome the opportunity to talk with each of you as your time permits, or to hear from you as you think there's a need to give me a call or send me an email. So with that, thanks again for your service, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, moving forward, item number 8, correspondence.
No correspondence tonight.
And item number 9 is citizens addressing the commission on non-agenda items. Are there folks here tonight that want to address the commission on something that's not agendized? Okay. Moving forward, I see we have no consent items, so we'll move into the public hearing section. And we'll start with item number 10, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Storage. This is a design review and conditional use permit. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, commissioners, and welcome to Commissioner Barron. I'm Dara Dunworth, Planning Division. This first project for your consideration this evening is the Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Storage and Display Project. It's a request for approval of a design review and a conditional use permit to allow an approximately 75,000 square foot boat storage and display area, including installation of a tubular steel security fence in the existing Bass Pro Shops parking lot in the Rockland Crossing Shopping Center. Staff determined that the project is exempt from CEQA guidelines section, pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15303, new construction or conversion of small structures, and section 15311, accessory structures. A draft notice of exemption is provided in this evening's packet as one of the draft resolutions for your consideration. Of the overall enclosure, again proposed at about 75,000 square feet, the proposed storage area on this slide is the upper portion here, is approximately 35,628 square feet. The proposed display area, the lower half or lower portion of the overall area, is approximately 39,363 square feet. The entire enclosure is proposed to be fenced with an 8-foot tubular steel fence with bent pickets to match the SPMUD lift station fence in the corner of the Bass Pro Shop parking lot. Those thumbnails are pictures of the existing fence on the lower left-hand of the screen. To screen the operational areas of the enclosure, including storage of boats not yet prepped for sale and other products and materials, staff is recommending that the storage area be partially screened by expanded aluminum panels attached to the tubular steel fence. Police provided recommended requirements to be included in the store security plan to mitigate for the enclosure area not being fully visible. For the front and side of the display area, staff is supportive of not requiring the expanded metal panels to allow for visibility of the boats that are prepped for sale and on display. Staff also included a draft condition of approval that specifies the other permanent display of boats outside the fenced area is to be in the designated area in front of the store, noted here. The applicant worked extensively with planning, fire, and police staff over the last few months to come to this compromise fencing solution that provides screening, some visibility, reduced climbability, and is not combustible. The proposal before you addresses the access, security, and aesthetic concerns of fire, police, and planning. The applicant has estimated that the proposed expanded metal panels would have approximately 60 to 70% open area, which planning felt gave enough screening to the operational areas that they wouldn't be readily visible. And police agreed that that was adequate given the additional security lighting, the alarms, the keypads on the gates, and those types of security measures, that seemed to satisfy everybody as well as the applicant. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Questions for staff?
Yes. I just want to understand the drawing a little bit more on the hash mark area that goes from the front to the back. Is that kind of a driveway that boats would be delivered into and then picked up in that area?
Well, the applicant can answer specific questions about deliveries of their products, but that is designated as the fire access lane.
Okay.
So that will be striped per the security plan, and through plan check, fire will make sure that that is as adequately marked as no parking and to remain open to circulation at all times.
Okay. I was more so wondering if the public is going to be back in that area, if public's going to be driving cars in and out of that area.
No. There will be no public vehicular access to any of this.
Okay.
There will be customers escorted by Bass Pro Shop staff to the front display area only.
Okay.
And there will be a gate between the front display area and the rear operational storage area. So there wouldn't be any public access to the storage portion of the area.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't here when this was approved before, so I just didn't know how boats got delivered or picked up for it, because I didn't realize they even did service over there. So that's kind of why I was wondering that. And then just, is 2 years a typical time frame for a use permit like this for a reapplication? Or does it just kind of vary?
Well, the two-year expiration date, mm-hmm. that's for them to act on pulling a building permit for the fence. In this case, because the fence is 8 feet tall, it does require a building permit per building code.
So that's all that applies
so
to.
So that's the expiration, is for them to act on this entitlement and
okay.
to basically divest it. After that, it would run with the land.
Right.
Unless and until they were out of compliance and we chose to revoke the conditional use permit.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions to staff? I just have a couple of questions, Dara. So this area previously, was this originally planned for parking, or was this originally planned for a storage area in the original conditional use permit?
So there wasn't an original conditional use permit. Bass Pro Shops went in by right as retail
oh, okay.
in the PDC
sure.
zone in the Rockland Crossings General Development Plan. When it first was approved to go in, they anticipated, and in the early drawings, they showed where the quote-unquote fishbowl, the possible future bowling alley accessory use, would have been, which is generally this area, not quite as big as this whole 75,000 square feet, because it abutted right up against the building and wasn't triangular, obviously, so it took up a little bit different footprint, would have, but as we noted in the parking discussion, the original approval for Bass Pro to come in had surplus parking, including the bowling alley. Even after this storage area, if it were to be approved, they would still continue to have a surplus of parking. So when and if the bowling alley project ever came forward, we would be looking at doing design review again for that project, for them doing the addition potentially, and certainly have to work with them to see how much they scale back their boat storage, because parking would become an issue potentially at that point.
So I'm curious, so that area then being identified as sort of a building pad area, then that parking was not factored into, there wasn't any parking there that was factored into the total parking count for Bass Pro at that time. In other words, you know, that area was being dedicated to a building. So if it had been used for parking up until this point, that was essentially an overflow of parking.
You're correct. It was excess parking, but it wasn't
correct.
Required parking.
Right, right. So it's not as if we're diminishing the total number of required parking stalls for the Bass Pro area by dedicating this area to storage in lieu of another building pad. So the area in the middle there, the fencing in the middle is a essentially defining sort of the area of storage versus the area of display, correct?
Correct.
And then that has, it identifies here, obviously, the screening slats, but the 8-foot tall tubular fence that goes around the perimeter, is that all of the same expanded metal? Is that
so,
the plan?
Let me show you with the hand where the expanded metal panels would be. They would start over here at the gate and where it connects to the existing masonry wall enclosure.
Sure.
And would wrap around the whole east side up to this point where it became the display. At this point, going back towards the building would be the chain link with the fabric mesh.
Sure.
And so then the basically two sides of the display area that would not have the expanded metal would be the short side and then the long front. The enclosure does meet up here at the building, so this would be part of the display area, and that would not have the metal mesh panels adjacent to the building. Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that the proposed display area has visibility.
Correct.
From the outside in, whereas the storage area is largely screened.
It's largely screened because of the operational nature. There's unfinished product. There's perhaps pallets of materials and products that haven't been, stored permanently. They do some unpacking, and there's sometimes overflow for refuse that hasn't made it to the trash enclosure yet. They're doing some minor installation of aftermarket things onto the boat. So it's very operational in nature, and for that reason we wanted it to be screened.
And then the 8-foot tall tubular, is that the actual detail of the fencing where it curves back and it's got the spikes?
Those are pictures from the existing SPMUD enclosure. So that's what we would be looking
that would be
in plan
consistent.
Check to match that, yes.
And where does that occur currently?
So the SPMUD sewer lift station is approximately here.
Okay.
So it's right out on the I-80 frontage.
And how tall is that fencing now?
I think it's 8 feet. It's pretty tall.
Okay.
I think that's just about the same fence, even with height. It just wouldn't have the mesh panels for the storage area.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So with that, we'll entertain the applicant, if they're here tonight, if they want to say anything with respect to the project.
Hi, my name's Shane. I work for Bass Pro Shops, construction manager. What I have here is a few samples. If you guys want me to bring them over here, let you guys look at them. So this is the aluminum panels. There's a variety of them. Watch them, there's a couple sharp edges on them. That is, I'm not sure what the range in the visible space is, but I know the larger one are about 75% through visibility. The smaller ones get down in the 50s, close to 60%. But from experience, I don't recommend the aluminum panels. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is it's inordinately expensive. Those add $200 a lineal foot, more than doubling the cost of fence. Now, I know we're not here to discuss cost, but the other thing is that when you fasten aluminum to steel, there's always some issues with the connecting point. I believe that over time that's not going to be as durable as a steel product. This is what I'm proposing. This is actually similar. I couldn't get the exact sample. This is steel. It seems lighter. It's 74%, I think, is the visibility, or 76. And, again, it's steel. This is rolled, expanded metal mesh. That is super durable. Now, those slats on that fence, they're just about 6 inches apart. And when you weld this or mechanically fasten it to the back of those panels, it's a real common condition. Put it up like that, it comes in a big roll, and you can't climb it, you can't get through it. And I'm not selling this. It's a lot more cost-effective. Obviously, we would coat it, paint it, powder coat, whatever the case may be. This is what I'm advocating, this material, with the steel pistol.
Any questions of the applicant? Okay. I just have a couple of questions. So you're advocating for this panel, and my apologies going back to the staff's presentation. What panel is currently Is there a difference that staff is recommending? Or
well, we had specified what I've got up here, which was a sample that the applicant had sent me. I don't think staff cares whether they're aluminum or steel. I think the idea is the end result, that there's a reasonable amount of visibility to satisfy police. There's a reasonable amount of screening to satisfy planning, make that compromise work. So I don't think we have any concern about what the actual material is, as long as the objective is achieved, as long as it's black powder-coated. I don't think we have any objection to an equivalent. And it provides within the same range of screening, 60-70% or so.
So I have maybe just one question for the applicant. So you're storing boats in this area, correct? Is that it? Is there other types of product or anything else that's going to be stored?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much time you guys have. I could go on about this for a long time. But briefly, so these guys did a good job of explaining it. There's a mid fence that we've shown in there. From that mid fence back, that is we have a tracker boat service center, so we have customers bringing in boats. It may be a raggedy, you know, old boat, and we that's not necessarily so. We like that area screen. The front portion of that is new boats that we've gotten that we've received from the factory. Most of them are wrapped up. They look like giant marshmallows out there. It takes some time. They get them in the fence. They take that wrapping off. She was talking about unpacking stuff. They take this cover off. It's all shrink wrap. And there's a lot to it. It's a big production. But so the primary portion, the front portion of that fence, to me, we're not concerned about the visibility out there because it's just going to be boats, whether they're wrapped or, you know, or unwrapped. It's just display boats. Behind the screen, behind the mid fence is where we'd like to keep it out of visibility.
Sure.
But
sure.
The function, and I think they mentioned this, the function of that front area is it will never be an open display area where the public can just go in there. The only time we would have public in there is when the public sees a boat on our showroom floor and says, do you have this in, you know, red? And we say, yeah, we have one on the lot. And we would lead that customer out there, show them that boat, take them back.
Yeah. So
primarily it is, you're right, a storage facility.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm thinking, I mean, obviously you have some level of visible screening with the back area, which makes sense. I mean,
sure.
If you're working on boats, you have parts, you have other kinds of things in that area, it might not be the cleanest area visibly. The area in front, though, it sounds like, I mean, it's labeled a display area. Really, it's, you know, it sounds like a lot of those boats are still in shrink wrap. People
yes,
aren't necessarily walking back there. I mean, do you generally keep the front row of boats unwrapped and there's some visibility? People walk up to the fence and look in, wow, I like that particular model, or
no,
how does that work?
Our standard, we have 80 stores in the United States and Canada. And all 80 of the Bass Pro branded stores, almost all, have a tracker center. And with very few exceptions, that is just a black chain link fence with a full screen around the whole thing. And because it's literally just used as a storage, a transfer facility, if you will.
Sure,
but
sure.
Another point of clarification is that typically we scatter our boats all over the parking lot. And that is something that we've not been able to do here. I think we have an allowance to have 6 boats out on the sidewalk in front of the store, plus the boats inside the boat showroom. And that I think that's where we made the error in judgment on the size of the original boat yard. The tracker manager at this location has requested 150 boats on site at all times. And so that's about 120 or 30 stock plus maybe 10 or 12 service boats and 10 or 12 custom order boats that come in. It's waiting on customers to pick them up. And so that's the problem. That's the original issue. And so because we've had such an overflow of boats, we've had them parked all along the back fence and all out in the parking lot, and we've been reprimanded.
Enforced. Okay. And so it's more a question for staff. The areas that are shown as planters, presumably will those remain plant material, tree, shade tree,
there is
lighting?
There is a condition to that effect that the landscaping, the irrigation, the planters remain untouched. Things will not be stored in the planters. It
sure.
will all remain, and that would be subject to code enforcement if there were found there were problems with things being stored or trees being removed, that sort of thing.
All right.
This graphic doesn't show the full extent of the detail, but we've actually the larger pictures show the fence goes around the curbing and the planting, and we're leaving all the landscaping as is.
Any other questions of the applicant? All right. Thank you.
I have one, if I could, that you asked a question previously that I think I know the answer to. I discussed this with the developer this week, and they tell me that they have 210 additional parking places, extra parking spaces in the entire center. So I'm working with them and with my architect record to make sure that we're not burning up their entire stock. I think this addition to the original footprint takes 106 additional parking spaces, which if that's accurate, and if they didn't count the original 58, then they should still have room to their 231. But I have a lot of homework to do to sort that completely out, but they're, according to the developer, 210 additional parking spaces above the requirement.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll open a public hearing. Is there anyone here from the public that wants to speak to this project? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. We'll bring it back to the planning commissioners. Who'd like to start?
I guess I have a question for staff again. Is there another project similar to this where we have the same sort of tubular steel fencing with the screening in order to prevent the public from seeing something? Is there another comparison?
The closest one would be Grobiz on I-80 off of Granite Drive.
Right.
As far as specifically this type of screening, mm-hmm. No. This is a relatively new product, at least from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We had it proposed on a project that ultimately withdrew a few years ago, but I am not aware of anywhere in town that we actually have it existing, unless one of my staff can correct me.
What about the overflow Mercedes parking lot? Did we do that there?
It hasn't been built.
But will it be the same product on that
I
one?
I don't recall that okay. They had screening.
I don't think they have their screening.
You do see, not the screening product, that's your question, but the tubular steel SPMUD.
It's more
that's,
so, yeah.
That's,
the,
you
the
see
screening.
That throughout town.
Yeah, I've noticed
places.
That, yeah. But I was just trying to think of another area where we've done that, and I couldn't think of anything.
So far, we haven't. We have seen examples of it in other jurisdictions where it has seemed to have worked well.
Mm-hmm.
And SPMUD is moving ahead with some upgrades and repair projects with some problems on their fence, and they're proposing to use it there. But I don't believe it's been installed as yet.
Okay. Well, that was my only question, so I guess I'll go ahead and go. I do appreciate the corral system that we have going on here because I don't get out to Bass Pro Shops too often, but when I did go and tour the site, I mean, boats are everywhere, and yes, they are along the fence, and it's kind of hard for, you know, my concern would be the, you know, emergency vehicles having to get through in the back and having enough room for them. So, yeah, cleaning that up and putting the boats in one place, I think that's great. So the boat display areas is current or on the front and then that little landing area that's kind of on the side. And then are there more boats that are currently allowed where that big circle is in the back? Is that a display area too? Because there were boats parked down in that area too on the ground today.
You're talking about this large
yeah.
circle over
are
here?
There,
I believe that's part of the loading dock. It's not.
So kind of where that little recessed area is on the side, I was just wondering if that.
Oh, here?
Yes. Is that also display? Because there was boats there today too.
It's not designated display. The
okay.
only designated display were these six slots in the original approval. And then we through the special event permit that was done a few years ago, then we allowed the enclosure. But they've far surpassed
well, yeah, because there's also boats
boat
on the
sales,
other front so. Area, too. And I think that looks fine in the front. But, yes, corralling it is fantastic. And, you know, what we can do to have the boats going under maintenance and stuff, to have them shielded, that's fine with me. I would prefer that whatever boats are in the front there, though, would be, you know, pretty-looking boats and not boats that are wrapped up and make it, you know, truly a show area. So I'm generally in favor of this project, and I see that we're not going to be limiting the parking areas either. So as long as those boats are really for display in the front and they're not all shrink-wrapped and packaged up, I don't really have a problem.
I concur. I think relative to getting the boats in one location and visually, you know, you're looking largely at this area from the front. whether it's on the freeway or in the parking lot. So looking through a display area, and then, you know, having a screen into a storage area, I think that will be effective. I'm okay with the change of materials so long as we make sure that doesn't create a reflectability issue with that material as presented to us this evening. I think staff's condition says powder coated in black, which would work fine for that. So from my perspective, I'm okay with the project as proposed and find that the CEQA exemption is and the findings that are being made there are appropriate, and therefore I support the project.
My biggest concern was parking originally. I think that question's been answered. And having been out there and driven around, it seems that putting this behind an enclosure and a display area is going to really actually have an upgrading effect out there. So I'm in support of the project as well.
Okay. Yeah, I would concur with my fellow commissioners. I think, you know, having the ability to sort of identify the area of storage and not have it permeate through the rest of the parking lot makes sense. I could, you know, nitpick the kind of fencing or the kind of material, and frankly, you know, I think it's fine. It, you know, the material in the back from sort of that mid fence line back is really not perceptible from the public, so it could be chain link all the way around, quite frankly, and I don't think we'd ever know the difference. It's really more what's in front. You know, 8 feet with the curved pickets and the spikes, it's probably a little bit of overkill. I can't scale a 6 foot fence, much less an 8 foot fence, much less an 8 foot fence with spikes that are forward. I think the next step is concertine wire at the top, but hopefully we don't want to see that. So I think it's fine. But I do concur. I like Commissioner Voss's idea of saying at least what is sort of on the perimeter. It's identified as a display area, which I think is a little misleading. It's really more of a storage area. But if that front row was more of a display in that particular case, I think that would look better. And I don't know if we can condition it or if the commission wants to consider that, but something I would consider as well. So with that, entertain a motion.
Okay, we'll take these in order one at a time. I'll move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a notice of exemption, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Storage and Display, U-2018-0002 and DR-2018-0007.
I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'll also move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a conditional use permit to allow outdoor storage and display in a PDC zone, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Storage and Display, U-2018-0002. Would we put the fencing and display in the design review portion or in the conditional use permit portion?
Design review, I would think.
I think in the use permit, if you're wanting to limit shrink wrap, specifically shrink wrap boats within the so-called display area, okay, that would be a conditional use permit condition.
Within my motion, I will include a motion that the front row of the display area facing the Interstate 80 be for display boats only, not for storage boats, if that works. Then how would you all like to approach the fence material? We'll include fencing material, revision to the fencing material at staff's discretion, consistent with what was
Mr. Chairman, if I may. As it's proposed right now, what they want to do is not a significant difference in staff's mind, so that would be substantial compliance as we see it. So if you're comfortable with that, we would be.
That's fine. Okay. I don't think we need to add anything.
Okay. That sounds fine. I'll also, as part of this motion, move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a design review, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Storage and Display, DR-2018-0007.
And I will second that in its entirety.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion's passed. Thank you. All right, moving on. Item number 11 is the Rockland Gateway Pavilion Feature Substantial Compliance. This is a design review permit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Commission, Nathan Anderson with the Planning Department. Bear with me for one moment, please. Okay. So the presentation before us tonight is a modification to the Rockland Gateway Pavilion. This was an approved project that was approved by the City Council on June 13th, 2017. It's a modification to the design review portion of the project, DR 2016-0010. Very small background on the site. The Rockland Gateway Project site is approximately 7 acres in size. It's located on north of the intersection of Pacific Street and Midas in Old Town Rockland. In 2017, as I stated, the project was approved by the City Council. That project approval was a design review, general development plan, rezone, development agreement, and oak tree permit to ultimately construct 8 3-story apartment buildings with 204 total units. The project also included a leasing office totaling approximately 2,400 square feet in the central portion of the site, as well as landscaping, parking, and other project-related improvements. An example of the approved building elevations is shown here. The building walls are to include red board and batten on the first and second floors with a light tan stucco. On the third floors, slate shingles on the roofs. This was actually a modified design from what came before the Planning Commission originally. Includes several elements that were added and were approved by the Architectural Review Committee after the City Council approval. That was a requirement by them. As far as the leasing office, it's located, as I said, in the center of the property. It was approved to be constructed of reclaimed wood, steel, and other materials, which were chosen to reflect the historic character of the quarry district. The project also featured a pavilion feature, which was proposed at the corner of Midas and Pacific. This feature, in its original state, is shown here, as well as here. Now, at the Planning Commission meeting of April 18, 2017, so over a year ago, some members of this body voiced concerns regarding the original pavilion design. It was stated that this feature did not match the look of the other buildings which were being proposed, nor did it reflect the historic nature of this district. Additional concerns were raised regarding the tower on the right side of the screen, with some commissioners feeling that it resembled more of a climbing structure for the adventure park than a corner element for this type of area. So in order to address these concerns, the Planning Commission directed staff to include an additional condition of approval, which stated that if the project were to be approved by council, the corner pavilion feature would come back before the Planning Commission for ultimate approval. So this was included as condition of approval 17C, which is shown here, which brings us to tonight. Following approval of the project by the council, staff has worked with the applicant on a redesign of this feature. The new version features a thick wall constructed from reclaimed heavy timber for project signage along the corner and an exposed steel canopy for the feature itself. The canopy will be planted with green screens similar to the approved vegetative walls along the exterior of the building. This vegetation would extend across the top of the structure to provide consistency throughout the pavilion. The reclaimed timbers and exposed steel with the rusted surfaces, which you can see along the right side here, were selected in an effort to complement the project as well as other projects within the surrounding quarry district. We've got a representative of the project here tonight who can discuss the specifics of these designs and has a few more slides to show, so I'll turn it over to her in a moment. But based on the direction provided to staff for the redesign, staff is in support of the project and is recommending approval of this pavilion feature tonight. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions for staff? Okay. Nope. All right. I don't have any questions either. So at this time, we'll have the applicant come up and present.
Hi, I'm Dan Nethercott with Wolf Company. Congratulations on being reseated. And, you know, really I just wanted to get up and say thanks to staff. This has been a long process to move this project to its conclusion. And we have all the applications are in, the plans are in. We're waiting for the final tax credit hearing, which is tomorrow. And after that, HUD will make their determination, which we are confident will be positive, and we'll be able to get started on construction. So this last piece, the corner trellis, just been a terrific process working with the city. So thank you. And we could talk all night about, you know, the beauty of the project and where it's cool, all the little things that get missed sometimes. But unless there's specific questions, I'll sit down and move on.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions for the applicant? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So we'll open up public hearing. Is there anyone here tonight from the public that wants to speak to this project? All right. Seeing none, bring it back to the commission for deliberation. Who wants to start?
Everyone's looking at me. I didn't have a problem so much with the last one, but I'm so glad that I've gotten to know Brian. I'm a little bit better because then later on I kind of did have some problems. So I saw your point. So I do appreciate with this the angular feature, which also kind of mirrors the angular features of the other green walls. I think that this feature looks nice. I like the intent of it as a community gathering space for the folks that live there. I like that there's ability for the folks passing by to see into it, and I think it looks nice. That's my opinion. Looks nice.
Okay.
Yes, I will follow that. I do find the modified pavilion design to be more consistent with the overall architecture of the site. And in addition to all the colors, materials, historic context of the railroad and downtown and the historic quarrying operations, which kind of lends itself to the big, heavy timbers. So I also am okay with the modified pavilion design.
And I kind of came in the middle of this one, but having reviewed the project and looked at it and looked at what you guys had previously presented and then this, I'm in support of it. It looks very good, and you know, I think it meshes well with the overall what we're trying to do downtown. So I'm in support of the project as well.
Great. I could probably just move on to look for a motion, but I'm gonna differ from my fellow commissioners here. So I've always had some challenges with this project. I think a lot of it is the modular elements of the buildings, which I realize is not part of the purview here tonight. I felt like they're just a little too monolithic. It looks like there's been some improvements to, you know, some of the elements there, the vertical elements, the pieces on the windows and so forth. You know, the issue I think that we had previously with the design of this trellis element wasn't really the trellis itself. It was kind of that piece in the back that seemed like a jungle gym and was a little bit foreign. I feel like the pendulum swung pretty hard the other way, and now we kind of have the jungle gym above us, which for those of you that don't know, this is what we call a space frame. These were very popular in the 1960s, Buckminster Fuller. The only other space frame I can think of actually exists on Sierra College right now in front of the theater building. And if you look at it, you will definitely think 1960s. I mean, it's just it goes right to that. I think the renderings are great. I don't really think, you know, I think we could have been very simple, elegant, trellis type of feature, some folded plane walls, you know, that kind of thing. I like the green screen element. I think that's important. And maybe that will hide it over time, but it sounds like maybe I'm overruled on this one. So with that, I'll accept a motion.
I'm having technical difficulties, so if someone else can do it.
Sure. I think this one's fairly simple. I would move to approve the modified pavilion design.
Yes, this is a substantial compliance. There's no resolution, so it's just really a minute action. So that would be appropriate.
So we don't need to take a motion. Okay, great. Or we do.
Requires the motion.
Oh, it requires a motion still, but it's not a formal.
It's not a resolution.
Permit.
We just need a formal motion and okay. Vote. So saying you approve or disapprove.
Okay. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, not me. No. Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. We'll move on then into the non-public hearing items. Number 12, presentations and informational items.
None tonight from staff.
Okay, great. Item number 13, reports and discussion items from the planning commissioners.
I just want, in my journey around Bass Pro Shop today, I was just wondering, does Walmart have a special permit right now for their piles of dirt in the parking lot that are all fenced in with the trash that's all over the place in there? I'm calling you out, Walmart.
I'm not familiar with that. We'll have to look into that and see what's going on.
So Walmart, a couple things. Walmart does have an outdoor storage area that was part of their original approval. That's not what you're talking about now, but I'm mentioning it only because it's in the same general area and has similar function to it. They also have a building project where they're doing an addition to the rear of the building. It's a small classroom addition. I don't know if the pile of dirts are related to that construction project.
It's for sale dirt. It's just piles of dirt in the parking lot. It's like a whole lane that they've taken up and closed off with chain link fence. And then when I was driving around, there's a lot of trash and stuff inside of it. And
we'll check it out.
Cool. Thanks. And then the only other thing is we did say thank yous to Commissioner Martinez at the last meeting, but we did not say anything about dear Commissioner Sloan. And I just wanted to say that he did a fantastic job in service to this community, and I really appreciate his efforts, and I'm looking forward to his rehab and possible returning someday to the commission.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Quick question for staff relative to the design review committee. Commissioner Sloan was on that committee. We've got a vacancy there, so we probably need to fill that.
City Council appointed Commissioner Voss as the replacement.
And they didn't ask us.
Thanks. Appreciate that. And our meetings have gotten canceled, so I haven't gotten to see you. So.
Great. Well, now I know. Thank you.
Any other reports or discussion items from the planning commissioners? I do have one thing I wanted to bring up. You know, we did receive a letter from some folks talking about, I think, the oak trees and some of the natural features of some of the elements, in particular off of Aguilar and Rockland Road, because of the upstart of that project. That's kind of my neighborhood, this part of town that I deal with. So, you know, seeing that, I watched as that was kind of unfolding. We've had the same thing, you know, effectively with the corner project there at Sierra College and Rockland Road, and then very similarly with the Cracker Barrel development. We've had a lot of sort of that disturbing. I don't think it's necessarily something we need to spend any time with, but, you know, one of the things that occurred to me as we were just sort of thinking about that is, you know, this part of Rockland in particular, kind of this east part of Rockland, has a lot of really nice natural features. You know, we're trying to take advantage of some of that, obviously, with the Quarry Park and different things. And, you know, one of the things I would say is, you know, particularly for those of you sitting on design review committee and as we consider projects in the future, we try to think about how we can integrate some of that stuff, because we have had, I mean, I will say I'm not a person that's generally speak for the trees and save the trees and save the natural environment, but we have had quite a bit of destruction of that in the last several projects in that part of town, and it's noticeable. I mean, it's very much, when you look at the landscape now, it's very different from what it was before. And, you know, there's going to be other opportunities to do that in those areas. And I think we need to be, you know, thoughtful about how we pursue that in the future. So something to give consideration to. All right. Okay. Item, 14, reports from city staff.
Just to let you know, the pulsing of projects is such that we are not going to have a meeting on the 7th of August. But we will have one the 21st.
Okay, great. And I believe our other newly incoming planning commissioner said that he would be available after this meeting, correct? So
that is correct.
I'm sure we're still going to want to communicate our availability as we move forward, but at least we have a full slate of five. Great.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else from city staff?
The only other thing I would mention is there's been a lot of ongoing chatter, of course, about the Adventure Park project. Just so you know, where we're at currently, council did at the last special meeting approve moving forward with permanent bathrooms and food service. We will be bringing back to them. They approved staff going out to bid the construction of a deck. We're going to have two options on that for bidding shortly, and then we'll bring the results of that process back to council for a vote. The funds they've already allocated funds for that, a certain amount of funds for that purpose. All of the adventure elements, less the king swing, should be completed here in early August. We'll have a state inspection process towards the end of August. Council, we will have the approved final stamped engineer drawings for the King Swing. Council did authorize funds for that, but they did not authorize proceeding at this time because they want to wait until we're done with the balance of those items I just described to see where we're at. And if they feel after when we're done with that, that there's adequate funding, et cetera, they will come back and have that whole discussion. They may move forward at that point in time or not, but there are funds currently available for that. So we're pretty excited that we're seeing the finish line on the project. It won't be complete to the full extent that we originally hoped, but it will certainly be operational and provide all the basic services that the customers, I think, are looking and expecting. And so, you know, you'll hear more about that, but I would say, you know, right now we're sort of targeting Labor Day.
Great. Yeah, I appreciate that, Mark. I think, you know, there has been certainly, you know, some discussion in the community and in the press about that. I appreciate, I think, staff's sort of steady focus on getting it done. You know, from my perspective, since I deal with this sort of thing every day, facility development, to me it doesn't surprise me why we've had schedule impacts and cost impacts and, you know, all of those things. We're dealing with a site with a lot of, I'm sure, unforeseen conditions, rock, those kinds of things. We're in a severely escalating market from a construction standpoint. You know, we've had bids on projects 20 and 25% higher than we anticipated in the last 3 to 4 months. And that's not here in Rockland. That's all across California and other parts of the nation. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that council and staff have continued to focus on that, and I think it'll be a great addition when it's done. So looking forward to it. Great. All right. With that, we'll get to item 15, which is adjournment. Thank you very much.